The Tennis Gambling Podcast and the Sports Game Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania is live with $15 million in prizes. Sign up with SGPN as your promo code to claim your special pick and a first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. We're also brought to you by Royal Retros. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets and sweatshirts from all the old school teams that you love. Use promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's code SGPN at royalretros.com. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It's currently Thursday evening on May 9th, roughly 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host, always, Scott Reichel, once again going solo for this pod. It's a little bit different because I've been trying to get these episodes out a bit earlier, and now we actually have gotten an episode out before 10 o'clock, which might seem a little bit rare to the longtime listeners of the show, but I'm trying to finish the episodes earlier, and Rome ended up finishing their matches today for Thursday, so I decided to get the episodes out early, not to mention the fact there are some playoff games in hockey and basketball that I plan on watching, so I did want to get this out of the way quickly so all of you do have time to actually bet the matches before they potentially start, because I know that since I upload them early in the morning, typically the matches start early in Rome, so I figured I might as well give you extra time to potentially get your bets in. Before we get into the actual recap of the round of 128, do want to at least talk about for a second how important it is to like, subscribe on YouTube to the show. Also, a reminder to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. So regardless of how you actually consume the podcast, don't forget to leave some feedback, and don't forget to at least let your opinion be known to me what you think of the show. Also, a reminder to check out the SGPN merch store for the Tennis Gambling Podcast, because we have merch, we have t-shirts, we have sweatshirts, a lot of high-quality merchandise available on the merch store, not just for the tennis show, but also for other podcasts with the network, because for this week, we have the baseball podcast, the MLB Gambling Podcast, which is the feature show, and it's a show that I'm actually on. So if you are a hardcore baseball fan, or you're just a degenerate gambler sitting in an office looking for some afternoon bets, either way, you'll want to make sure you subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast wherever you do get your podcasts. And to start off with the actual recap of the last episode, unfortunately not a good start to the episode, or I should say the tournament, as we ended up losing the lock and dog picks. For the lock, we had Karatsev to win in straight sets at minus 110, was going to fade McDonald after he had not played any tennis since the Australian Open. Karatsev did win the match, but unfortunately he lost the first set, and then he ended up winning the next two. In hindsight, maybe I probably shouldn't have trusted Karatsev with anything, because he's been unreliable in the past, but the point is Karatsev, I thought, had a good spot, and he did because he won the match, but unfortunately he did kind of, stumble through the first set. He got broken in the first service game, then he ended up getting a break back at the end, but either way, point is he did lose the first set before turning it around and winning in three, which did us no good. As for the dog, ended up losing with Chorich and Draper over 2.5 sets at minus 135. First set was competitive, as you ended up seeing the set go to 7-5, and then Draper won that one, and then Chorich immediately imploded. Draper won, I believe it was 6 straight games or 7 straight games, I'm trying to remember, but the point is you saw Draper win the final game of the first set at the 5-6 game to break to win the set, then he went up 5-0, so Chorich completely rolled over and died in the second set, and then Draper ended up winning the second set 6-1. Kind of annoying there, but I can't be too mad or call it a bad beat, because Chorich had no break points in the entire match. So Chorich's return of serve was abysmal. Draper looked great, and Draper did beat him in straight set. So not a great start to the actual tournament for us, but it is what it is. We'll move on to the round of 64. Do want to recap, though, for the actual last couple of days. Want to talk about the round of 128. So to get into the couple of matches on Wednesday, no particular order, just going to go with some matches that caught my eye. Borg just beat Martinez in a hell of a match. I lost the first set 6-7, then he won the next two sets 6-4, 7-6. Did win 10-8 in the final set breaker. Dardari ended up beating Chapo in three sets. Similar story to the Borges match, you had a breaker in the first set, which Chapo won, And then Dardari came back and he won the next two sets, including a final set breaker 7-4. You saw Mensik get destroyed by Hanfman, 6-3, 6-2, kind of a surprising outcome there. Nishioka beat Offner in three sets. Remember when Offner was actually decent? Yeah, it feels like a long time ago because Offner's been terrible the entire 2024. Then the rest was straightforward because you saw a bunch of straight set wins. Kotov beat Mickelson 6-1, 6-1. Kaboli beat Martero in straight sets. Montero ended up beating Monfi in straight sets. You saw Vukic beat Schwartzman. Schwartzman was favored in that match. Damn, man, Schwartzman has been awful in main draw matches for the last year and change. He did announce that he was going to retire in Buenos Aires next year. It's sad, but it's understandable because, damn, he's been terrible for over a year at this point. But losing to Vukic 6-2, 6-2 on clay, that's just rough. Nothing really else to add there, but wanted to at least mention it, that Schwartzman did get through qualifying barely, and then he ended up losing to Vukic immediately in the first round in what is one of his last clay events of his career. Moving on to the actual matches from today, Munar beat Hijikata in straight sets. Kepfer ended up beating Vavasori in straight sets. Berrettini did drop, by the way. He ended up getting injured, so he decided he was not fit enough to actually participate. So Napolitano ended up having a matchup instead against Wolf, and he ended up winning that one in straight sets. Mostly wanted to mention, though, that Berrettini did drop out of the event. Medvedev ended up beating Papyrin in straight sets. Medvedev is a guy that I like. I think he's a good player. I know he did lose in the first match of the last tournament that we covered, where he gave him out as a dog. But the point is, he is a solid player, and he looks really good against Papyrin, so keep an eye out for him. Fun potential, fun round of 64 matchup brewing with him and Fekina. So keep an eye out for that one. That should be a fun matchup that I'll preview in a little bit. You saw Pizarro pull off an insane comeback against Rinderknech, where he was down a set, and I believe it was 5-2. I think it was 5-2 double break in the second set, and Pizarro ended up coming back and winning. So yeah, it was 6-7, 2-5, and you ended up seeing Rinderknech have two match points at 15-40 and 30-40 in the 3-5 game for Pizarro serve, and he completely blew it. So Pizarro ended up coming back. That match was actually delayed because of rain, so Pizarro ended up making the comeback from 2-5 to 6-5. Then the rain showed up, and you ended up seeing Pizarro pull off the hold to win the second set, and then he ended up winning the third set with a breaker 9-7. So I saw somebody in the tennis Discord channel, a reminder that we do have the tennis Discord in the SGPN Discord server. It's free to enter if you do want to join. I saw somebody hit a live bet of, I think it was 25-1 on Pizarro Moneyline to win about a grand and change. So congratulations to, I forgot who it was. I think it was L, who ended up having, I think it was L who had Pizarro live money line at 25-1. So phenomenal job by him. Congrats on his long shot winner there. Going on to one of the surprises to some, maybe not to me, was Nadal losing a set to Bergs. Then he ended up winning in three. Bergs is a pretty underrated clay player. I know he's more of a challenger level guy, but he has a good serve. And Nadal, from what we've seen in the last couple of events, his returning hasn't been as solid against good serves in general, and the serve has not been good for Nadal, and that's why Bergs was able to hang in there. Nadal eventually wore him down, but Bergs gave it a good effort. He did have 7 aces and 4 double faults, but Bergs did win 68% of the first serve points and 68% of the second serve points. So the point is, Nadal's return game has not been as sharp recently, and it's going to be a problem because he has a matchup against Hurkacz in the round of 64. Moving on, you ended up seeing Mutet have a very solid comeback win against Safulin, as he won in three, won the second set via breaker, then won the third set 6-2. Feels like most, if not all, Mutet matches are absolute wars that are kind of just extremely entertaining. And that's what we saw in the Thursday matchup, but he got the job done as he won in three after being a lucky loser in the event, in qualifying. Moving on, you ended up seeing Arnaldi beat Mayotte in three sets. Mayotte was also a last-second fill-in as Makic ended up dropping, and Mayotte won the first set, and then Arnaldi came back and won in three. Mentioned Draper before, beating George handily. You saw Baena beat O'Connell. O'Connell won the first set 7-6 with a 9-7 scoreline in the breaker, then lost the first five games of the second set and said no mas, and ended up retiring as Baena got to advance. Giron beat Rusevori in three. Fun match there. You saw Ben Zanshulb win a war against Moreno as he ended up winning 7-5, 6-7, 7-6. One of the matches of the day, but the point is Zanshulb did get the job done as he ends up advancing. You saw Fognini end up beating Evans in three. Good one for him in front of the Italian crowd. You saw Mueller beat Fuksovics in three sets. Karatsev won in three. Mentioned that before. Nardi ended up beating Altmaier in straight sets. Altmaier has been kind of a mess recently, either based on just his overall physical injuries or just based on his overall mental state. But he has not been good lately, and you ended up seeing Nardi capitalize in front of the home country fans. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the actual recap of the round of 128. Now let's have to move on to the actual round of 64. Once again, if you are new to the show, we're not going to cover every match in the round of 64. Instead, we are going to cover the actual matches that kind of catch my eye. So it is subjective, but whatever matches I do find pretty entertaining, at least on paper, I am going to cover. A reminder, though, we might not have lines on all of the matches yet, so we might have to skip a couple, but we should have lines to most of them. So just keep that in mind. Now it's time to get into the actual preview. So starting off with the first match, we're going to look at a matchup between Bublik and Borges. For this one, you end up seeing Borges has about a minus 136 favorite. Bublik is around plus 116. For the actual spread, Borges minus 2 is minus 112. Bublik is plus 2 at minus 108. Interesting matchup here. The over 2.5 sets, by the way, is set at plus 130. It's interesting because Bublik ended up looking decent, actually, in Madrid. Lost to Medvedev eventually in straight sets. Competitive, though, but he did win a couple of rounds. You're looking at Borges, though, in a marathon in the first round against the likes of Martinez, who's a very solid clay player, so I actually am kind of impressed by that win for Borges, but he did have to spend a lot of time on the court, so I am wondering if fatigue will be an issue. It shouldn't, though, because he played on Wednesday, so he was off for Thursday, but that was a good match. Borges is a pretty good clay player. Bublik, we know, can be okay on clay when he actually cares, but the problem is you never know when he actually is going to care. So I think I have to lean to Borges in this one, maybe a three-setter. Bublik has been known to be a three-set magnet recently. Maybe if you want to go for Bublik to lose the first set and win the match, that could be a decent payout. I'll lean to Borges. I just think I trust him a bit more on clay. Don't really want to play the side. I think I'd rather look at the potential over in this matchup. But I think it should be an entertaining match. It's going to be an early one. We'll see how that plays out. Moving on to the next match I'm going to talk about, you have a matchup between we're going to go with Navone against Dardari, which is a very fun match on paper. So Navone in this matchup is going to be the favorite as he is around minus 150 on the money line. Dardari is around plus 131. As for the actual spread, Navone minus 2 is plus 115 and Dardari plus 2 is minus 105. Over-under for games is set at 22. For the set wagering, the over 2.5 sets is currently set at around, around plus 230. So the head-to-head's been competitive between the two of them as they faced off five times, and Navone is currently ahead on the head-to-head 3-2. He has won the last two meetings on clay in straight sets this year, ended up beating him in Italy in straight sets, and he beat him in Bucharest in straight sets as well. Faced off, though, in Buenos Aires, and Dardari ended up winning that one 6-2, 6-1 this year. So, decent amount of matchups, but Navone has gotten the better of him recently, and Navone is fresh off of a challenger title, as he ended up winning the title in Italy. So, they actually just faced off on May 4th. So, keep that in mind. It's going to be an immediate rematch, but Navone was able to beat Dardari and Musetti in route to the challenger title. So, he's in great form. Dardari's been good, though. No real shame in how he's played recently. Ended up beating Chapo in the first round of this event, whereas Navone did get a bye. For this one, I think I have to lean to Navone. He's won the last two head-to-head meetings on clay straight sets, including the meeting about a week ago. But Navone is just really, really good. And I've been talking about him on clay for a while. I recognize his talent on the challenger circuit on clay, and I thought it would translate well into the actual ATP circuit. And he's made two separate finals, ended up making the final and losing to Fuksovics, made the final of a 500 and lost to Baez. The point is he's definitely capable of potentially winning multiple clay titles in the future on the ATP level. So I do think you're looking at a guy who I think is a little bit better than Dardari. I know it can be competitive. Dardari does have the home crowd advantage. He also had that in the challenger match about a week ago, and Navone still beat him in straight sets. Even though I do like Dardari's game, and Dardari did win a clay title this year already on the ATP level. I do think Dart Derry is a little bit outmatched here. It might be go to three. Maybe it'll be competitive, but give me Navone to get the job done at minus 150. I just think he is right now in better form, and I think that's going to show itself in this matchup. Moving on to the next match, going to look at a matchup between Shelton and Kotov. For this one, Shelton is a favorite of about minus 215. Kotov's around plus 185 for the actual spread. Shelton minus 3 is even money. Kotov plus 3 is minus 120. For the over-under 23 games, you can find the set wagering. The over 2.5 sets is set at plus 130. Kotov to win a set is minus 170. Shelton to win in straight sets is plus 140. Now, we saw Kotov bury an American in the first round as he ended up beating Mickelson 6-1, 6-1. Shelton had a bye in the first round. He looked, let's just say, meh in Madrid. It was kind of an up-and-down tournament for him because he beat Makic 6-0, 6-2. But apparently Makic was injured because he dropped out of Rome. So I don't know what really to take away from that matchup, but he looked very good. Then he won the first set against Bublik and then lost in three. So he was off a Houston title, then won a match against Makic, who may or may not have been physically compromised, then lost to Bublik in three. I think Kotov's actually alive to win this match. I know the argument is that Shelton's serve can definitely be the main weapon that Kotov's going to have a hard time dealing with. Kotov, though, is a decent clay player. Won in straight sets against Ramos Vinolas, won in three sets against Thompson. Did lose to Sinner in straight sets against Madrid, but he was actually up a break in the second set. He almost won that second set to force a decider. Now, I know that Sinner was compromised and he was a bit injured, but Sinner ended up beating Kashanov right after that. So I'm not going to completely dismiss Kotov's performance in that matchup. The point is, I think Kotov's an underrated clay player, and I think that Shelton is really still not that great on clay. Did win a clay title in Houston, if you want to count that as clay. But the point is, you're looking at Kotov, who I think is being disrespected here, and Shelton, I do think, can still have issues with his rally tolerance and his shot overall decision-making. So I think Kotov plus three games is actually quite appealing at minus 120. I don't mind the money line. I think that he's got a shot to win this at plus 185, and I think that Shelton is once again being mispriced based on reputation. I know Mickelson's not a good clay player by any means, but winning 6-1, 6-1 is impressive in general by double breadstick. So I'm going to go with Kotov here to get the job done in straight sets. Moving on to the next matchup, you have a matchup between Caboli and Korda, which should be a fun matchup on paper. Korda is a favorite of about minus 190, give or take. I see 175, though, if you shop around. You can find Caboli at plus 155. For the game spread, Korda minus 3 and Caboli plus 3. Over-under in games is set at 22. Over 2.5 sets is set at plus 130. Now, Caboli has the home country advantage. They've never faced off in the head-to-head. Korda, though, looked okay, I guess, in Madrid. Beat Purcell in straight sets and ended up losing to Medvedev in three. But he has not really been good for the entire 2024. As for Caboli, I like him as a player. Has he been great recently? Not really. He looked okay, though, in Madrid. Ended up beating Tabilo and Jari in three sets, then lost to Kashanov in straight sets. Then he beat Martera in straight sets in Rome in the first round. I think for this one, I'm going to lean to the dog here. I think three games is too many. I find it weird that Shelton is about minus 215 on the money line, and he's minus 3, and Korda's minus 175 on the money line, and he's also minus 3. Now, the argument could be Shelton relies more on his serving. He's not exactly as good of a returner, so maybe that's why they're expecting a breaker in there, maybe a couple of longer sets. But in reality, I think three games is too many. I think that Korda is very capable of winning this match, but I'm not picking him to win comfortably. Caboli with the crowd against a Korda player who has not been in good form all year. I think that definitely tells me that Caboli is alive to make this match interesting. Give me the plus 3 on this one. You know my thoughts on Korda. I think he's a head case, and with the crowd supporting Caboli, maybe that's the boost he needs to get the job done in this round of 64 match. Jumping around a bit, you have Fritz taking on Fognini in the second round. You have Fritz at around minus 300, give or take. Fognini is around plus 240. For this one, not really going to spend much time on this. I know Fognini ended up winning his first round match against the likes of Evans in three. The problem is that there are no days off. He plays again tomorrow. And Fognini's older. And I've mentioned this before. I have a hard time backing older players past the prime, playing back-to-back days Evans isn't a great clay player by any means, so I do think that even though Fognini did win that match, I have to take it with a bit of grain of salt, and Evans has not really had a great year as well in 2024. Fritz has been good, though, on clay. Now, going through his actual performances, he ended up winning a bunch of matches in Madrid. Beat Dardari, beat Baez, beat Hurkacz, beat Cerundolo. Solid quartet there of wins, and then ended up losing to Rublev, who won the title, which is really no shame in that loss. And then he ended up showing up here. So I like how he's played. I think he's in good form. We know Fritz has a big serve. Fognini can't serve to save his life, so I do think that you're looking at Fritz probably winning in straight sets. I'm not going to overreact to a three-set win against Evans. I do think Fritz does win this one in straight sets. I don't have an actual price on me right now, but I do think that is the way to look for this matchup. Moving on to the next matchup, I'm going to look at a matchup between... I mean, I'm not going to talk about Djokovic and Moutet, because why am I going to bother? Probably not going to talk about Root either. So let's talk about... you know what? Yeah, let's go with Tabilo and Hanfman for the last match of the first day of the round of 64. For this one... you have Tabilo as a favorite, as Tabilo's around minus 160, give or take. And you're looking at Hanfman at around plus 140 for the actual game spread. Tabilo -2.5, Hanfman +2.5. The over-under is set at 22.5, and the over for sets is set at plus 125. For the actual matchup here, Hanfman looked good in the first round against Mensik. He killed him. 6-3, 6-2. Before that, though, was on a serious downswing. Lost to Mensik in Madrid, so he won the immediate rematch. Ended up losing to Husor in straight sets in Munich. Pretty bad loss there. Lost to Munar and Fies in Monte Carlo. Lost to Dimitrov 6-1, 6-0 in Miami, so he's been kind of a mess. Good win against Mensik, but Mensik has had some physical issues recently, and it was an immediate rematch, so nice to see him making some adjustments. Tabilo, though, has been busy. Ended up winning a title in France on the challenger level on clay, as he ended up beating Gaston in three, beat Bagnus in one set in a retirement, beat Vacherot, and ended up beating Munar 6-3, 6-2 in the final. So I'm going to go Tabilo. I like guys that keep active in the challenger level that are actually succeeding in between ATP events, and that worked out for him because he won a title. So Tabilo's had a good year. He's won a title on hard court. He made a final in Santiago, which he ended up losing. But the point is, he's made a couple of deep clay runs. I think he's the better clay player here. Give me Tabilo to get the job done at like minus 160. I don't mind the -2.5, but I do think looking at the matchup, Hanfman is okay. He has not been great recently. I'm not going to overreact to one win against Mensik. I do think Tabilo is the better player, and I'll bet it accordingly. Give me Tabilo to get the job done in this matchup. Moving on to the actual Saturday slate, a reminder, I don't have lines on every single match here, but I have lines on a couple. So starting off with the first match we're going to talk about, you have a matchup between Arnaldi and Jarry. This one should be a lot of fun. So Arnaldi's around minus 125, and Jarry's around even money. You're looking at the head-to-head, and Jarry is 2-0. But both matches were very competitive. They were both on hard court. One was actually this year. They faced off in Adelaide, and Jarry did win that one in three sets with two breakers. Faced off in Beijing last year, Jarry did win that one in three sets as well with two breakers. Now, Arnaldi came from behind against a lucky loser in Mayotte in the first match in Rome. He was okay in Madrid, ended up beating O'Connell comfortably, then ended up losing to Medvedev in three after winning the first set. As for Jarry, he's been very, very bad recently. I made a deep run in Miami, then ended up losing to Medvedev in straight sets. Okay, no shame in that. Medvedev made the final, and you know, we know Medvedev's a good hardcore player. Then he went to clay, and Jarry is a pretty decent clay player. Lost to Echeverry in straight sets, lost to Tringaliti in straight sets, and ended up losing to Caboli in three in Madrid. So Jarry's been in bad form. I think I have to lean to Arnaldi here with the crowd. I'll go with the over, though, 2.5 sets. I see a marathon. We know Arnaldi, historically speaking, is no stranger to three-set marathons. Neither is Jarry. I see a very competitive back-and-forth match, which is why the money line is only minus 125 here. They're expecting a pretty back-and-forth matchup that could go either way. I agree, but I do think Arnaldi is going to win it in three. So give me Arnaldi, and I am going to go with the over 2.5 sets as well for that matchup. Moving on to the next matchup, you have Fekina and Medvedev, which I previewed before, or I alluded to before. Fekina is going to be the favorite here of about minus 142. Medvedev is around plus 122. Game spread, you have Fekina at minus 1.5. You have Medvedev at plus 1.5. Over-under in games is set at 22.5. And for set wagering, the over 2.5 sets is set at plus 135. Now, Medvedevich, even though he did lose our dog bet in Madrid as he lost to Laheshka in the first round, that loss actually aged very well because Laheshka made a deep run, beat Nadal in the event, and then ended up losing in the semis because of injury. So Laheshka didn't really even lose in the event. He just got injured. But he was on a dream run, and Medvedevich was the unlucky opponent that had to deal with him in the first round. So Medvedevich, I thought, in that matchup looked good for a decent portion of it. His serve's been great, though, here in Rome. Went to qualifying, beat Ugo, ended up beating Wolf in straight sets, ended up beating Papyrot in straight sets. So he's been good. And I do think looking at Fekina, we know that he's talented, but we know he's a head case, and he's not been good lately. Ended up losing to Rude in straight sets in Miami. Okay, Rude is Rude. Lost to Korda on clay, 6-1, 6-2. Lost to Lajovic in his first round in Barcelona in three. He had a walkover, actually, into the first round. Then lost to Lajovic in three. Then beat Chang in Madrid. Oh, Chang is not really a great clay player. That was also after Chang had the three-set marathon that took about 4 hours against Moutet. So Chang might have been exhausted on that one, so context does matter. And then he eventually lost in straight sets to Rublev in a match he probably should have won at least one set in. The point is Medvedevich, I think, is a very solid clay player, and I think his serve can definitely win him some free points. Give me Medvedevich at plus 122. I like the guy. I'm not going to overreact to one loss that we gave out on the show. I think he's a good clay player. I think he's undervalued, and I think that he's a guy who can potentially push the top 50, maybe even the top 40 in the near future. So give me Medvedevich to get the job done in this one. I think plus 122 is a good price, so I am going to go with him in this one. Moving on to the next matchup that we're going to talk about, you have Nadal taking on Hurkacz, which should be a fun one. For this matchup, though, you have Nadal as a dog, which kind of is shocking, especially just based on his overall clay reputation. I don't know if Nadal's ever been a dog in the last, I don't even know, 15, 20 years in the round of 64. Probably not, but Nadal's around plus 130, and Hurkacz is around a minus 161. Do I understand it? Yes. I think it makes sense because Hurkacz is, first of all, rested because he did not play a first-round match, ended up having a bye, so he should look sharp. He was pretty good in Madrid, ended up beating Draper in straight sets, beat Altmaier in straight sets, then lost to Fritz in three. In straight sets, but it was competitive as there was a breaker in there. Nadal, though, has played a lot of tennis recently, and I question his overall durability and stamina. Had a couple of tough matches in Madrid, ended up beating Blanche in straight sets, beat Dimonauer in straight sets, beat Kachin in three. That was a marathon. And then lost to Laheshka in straight sets with no breaks of serve in that one. Then he faced off against Bergs in the match on Thursday and 1-3. So the point is, he does have a day off, though. He's going to be off on Friday, so maybe he can reset his batteries. Do I think he can handle Hurkacz? I think for the value, I got to lean to Nadal here. I really don't want to lay 160 and change with Hurkacz on clay. I feel like that price is a bit out there. I get the argument is Nadal's return of serve has not been good lately, but I feel like this line's disrespectful. I'm going to lean to Nadal. Am I going to bet it? Probably not, but Hurkacz minus 160 on clay. I can't find any value on that. Just simply put, I think Nadal can keep the match interesting. We know that Hurkacz's serve is a serious weapon, but the rest of his game has been an issue on clay for a while. He's gotten better at it as he won a title on clay in Estoril. But I have to at least point out that Nadal is being a bit disrespected here. He does have a day off, so I do think he can definitely pull this off. Give me Nadal to get the job done in this matchup based on the price. I realize that I might have overreacted to him being a dog because I think he was a dog against Dimonauer in Madrid, and he got the job done there. So give me the dog here with Nadal. I think plus 130 is a pretty disrespectful price. I think Hurkacz should be favored, but minus 120 maybe, minus 130. 160 is a bit out there. So give me Nadal as the dog at plus 130. Moving on to the next match we're going to talk about. I think it's going to be the last match we're going to talk about. You have a matchup between Tsitsipas and Struff. And for this one, you have Tsitsipas as the favorite of about minus 220, give or take. And you have Struff at around plus 175. That's been competitive, as Tsitsipas is 4-3, but Struff's gotten the better of him in the last couple of clay meetings. Struff beat him in Madrid last year, beat him in Barcelona in 2019. So the point is, 2019 is dated, but Struff has had some success against Tsitsipas in the past, and he did win his first round match against Kachin on a Thursday. As for Tsitsipas, he had a bye in this tournament, but he was in very good form, won a title in Monte Carlo, made the final in Barcelona. Then he lost immediately to Montero in his first match in Madrid, and he's not played since. So the question is, which Tsitsipas are we going to get? Are we going to get the guy that has been very, I'd say, overall effective in Monte Carlo and in Barcelona? Or are we going to get the guy that kind of no-showed Rome? I mean, that no-showed Madrid, and that might end up no-showing Rome. It is a bit tricky. The question is, do I want to take the actual minus 220 with Tsitsipas on the money line? I don't. I think Struff's pretty live to win this, actually. Struff's been in good form recently. We saw Struff push Alcaraz to 3 in Madrid, beat Humbert in straight sets, beat Munar in straight sets, and even beat Fritz to win a title in Munich. I think Struff's in good form. I think Tsitsipas is actually going to be on the ropes in this one. We saw Struff give Tsitsipas some, I'd say, problems in the past. I think you're looking at what should be a competitive match here. So I am going to go with Struff plus the games and potentially on the money line at plus 175. Tsitsipas, I recognize his talent if he's on point, should be able to potentially get the win and maybe even win in straight sets. But I'm skeptical because we've seen Tsitsipas be very inconsistent for the last year. He had a very good showing for a couple weeks in a row. I'm skeptical of actually trusting that to be Tsitsipas' form in the long term. And I think some regression might be due because I really just don't trust Tsitsipas in the grand scheme of things. Struff's also kind of volatile, but he's in great form. And we saw him win a title on clay, his first ever ATP title, by the way, in his home country in Germany. Then he had a good showing in Madrid before losing to the two-time champion Alcaraz in 3. He's played well. And I think with that being the case, this line feels a bit disrespectful. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the actual preview of the round of 64. Now it's time for the actual lock and dog picks. But before we continue that, do want to remind you once again that we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You win 200 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog also is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. They also have a lot of great options for tennis. They have breaks of serve. They have double faults. They have aces. A lot of fun options to make tennis viewing more interesting. And they also have a ton of fun promos. They have bonus cash airdrops. They have specials. They have giveaways and more than the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter. Keep an eye out. Reminder, at Underdog Picks on Twitter. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. They also just launched Champions, their player-versus-player format in Florida. So sign up with the promo code SGPN to claim your special pick and a first-time deposit bonus of $250 in bonus cash. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. We're also brought to you by Royal Retro, looking to prove that you know ball. What better way to showcase your old-school fandom than to actually be wearing some old-school gear from a classic team? Royal Retros have jerseys, T-shirts, hats, jackets, sweatshirts, and more from the vintage sports league and teams that you know and love. The Dirty Bird, the Orange Crush, or the Sack Exchange all make for sick jerseys for real fans. Plus, they have a very good promo with us right now. If you use the promo code SGPN, you'll get 10% off of your order today. That's code SGPN at RoyalRetros.com to get 10% off your order. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the upcoming round of 64 in Rome. Now it is time for the lock and dog picks. A reminder, we are missing some lines for the actual Saturday card. So there might have been a match or two that I was tempted by, but unfortunately, I did not have a line available on that, so I could not give it out. Instead, we're going to focus mostly on the actual matches for Friday, because we do have lines on all those matches. Starting off, we're going to go with the early match for the lock. We are going to fade Bublik once again in the first set. We've done this quite a bit, and it's been very solid for us. We're going to take Berg's first set money line at minus 135. Borges has been solid in the first set, as he's won the first set in 3 of his last 4 matches. The one exception was the first round in this event, where he lost in a breaker to Martinez, who's a solid clay player, who's had a pretty good year so far in 2024. No shame in that, and then he came back and he won the match in 3. Bublik, though, has been an absolute catastrophe in the first set all year long. But to focus on the recent form, Bublik has lost the first set in each of his last 6 matches. Bublik tends to show up, I'd say, extremely flat, and then he kind of wakes up as the match progresses. But if you give me a guy that has lost 6 straight first sets, and a guy that's won the first set in 3 of the last 4, Minus 135 is a good deal. Now, Bublik, I think, is a guy that can maybe win the match. We've seen Bublik come from behind before, but it's kind of the, I'd say, script that he likes to actually watch play out in his matches. He's willing to fall behind early on the actual scoreboard. Then he'll find a certain groove and he'll pick up his level, and then he'll win in three. But Bublik actively, I don't want to say punts first sets, but he actively comes out flat and just loses first sets. And when you lose the first set in six straight matches, and I could fade you at minus 135, I think it's a good deal. Now, is Bordas a great clay player? I think he's fine. We know Bublik's not a good clay player, though. Bublik can occasionally put together some good showings, but he's not really known for being a good clay player by any means. It is easily his least favorite surface. Bordas beating Martinez is a good win, as far as I'm concerned, and the fact that he ended up coming back from losing the first set tells me that I do think he's going to showcase his mental toughness, and Bublik will not. Give me Bordas to win the first set here at minus 135. To be honest, until Bublik actually wins the first set again, we might just keep taking this, because Bublik losing six straight. If you want to go through the actual, I'd say, entirety of Bublik's 2024 campaign, which I did not do, his record in the first set is going to be insanely bad. Like, you cannot believe how bad his first set record is going to be in 2024. I might compile that for the next episode, just in general, because I was going to look at it and I kind of forgot to. But Bublik's first set record this year is insanely bad, either on clay or on hard court. So I'll keep fading him in the first set. Give me Bublik just to win the first set at minus 135 as my lock. For my dog, and switch it up a little bit, I'm going to go with a two-pick parlay with two pretty decent favorites. We're going to go with Djokovic to win in straight sets and Ruud to win in straight sets, and that two-pick does pay out plus 110. Mutet, focusing on the Djokovic match, did lose in qualifying, got into the event as a lucky loser, and then he had a hard time against Tsafulin in the first-round match on Thursday. So I do question his overall stamina for this matchup, but Mutet is a guy that I don't really think can threaten Djokovic. Does he have great ground strokes? No. He uses a lot of drop shots, so that's kind of going to be his variety. But we know Djokovic has great court coverage. Djokovic should be healthy. He has not played since losing to Ruud in Monte Carlo. But even in that tournament, he was not playing great tennis, but he still won in straight sets against good competition. Beat Tsafulin, who Mutet had a hard time with on Thursday in straight sets. I think he beat him 6-1, 6-2. He killed Tsafulin. Beat Musetti in straight sets and beat Dimonauer in straight sets. And he really did not look great in those matches, and he still won in straight sets. Then he lost to Ruud, who ended up having a good run, lost in three there. The point is Djokovic is a much better player. Obviously, he's the best player of all time. Mutet lost in qualifying. I think he's a guy that can maybe make one set somewhat interesting, but he's a bad server, and he really just does not have many weapons to threaten Djokovic. So you can argue maybe if the drop shots are on, he can rely on those to force Djokovic forward and maybe have some success there. But Djokovic, we know, is going to be too consistent from the baseline, and I really don't see Mutet being able to, I'd say, outlast Djokovic in these rallies. I think Djokovic wins in straight sets, probably 6-3, 6-2, something like that, pretty straightforward. But I do think he'll get the job done in straight sets. And moving on to the other match, you have Ruud taking on Kecmanovic. And for this one, Ruud has just been in great form recently, did make a final in Monte Carlo, then he won a title, his first ever 500 title in Barcelona, did lose to Felix in Madrid, but he played well in the first couple rounds before that, as he ended up winning in straight sets, coincidentally, against Kecmanovic. They ended up facing off in one of the early rounds in Madrid, and he won 6-4, 6-1. And that's kind of the story of their head-to-heads, because they faced off three times on clay in their careers. Ruud is 3-0, and he's won all six sets. So Kecmanovic has really never threatened Ruud on clay. I don't see that changing. Ruud, I just think, is a much better player. Kecmanovic did win on clay in the first round here of Rome. Am I going to overreact to it? No. I just think that at the end of the day, Kecmanovic is a decent clay player. Ruud, when he's on, is easily a top five clay player in the world. We saw him make the French Open final on multiple occasions. I think he's in line for what should be a good showing in this event. And I'm not going to assume Kecmanovic is going to give him much resistance after beating Nakashima in straight sets on Thursday. Maybe you get a competitive set in there, but I do think Ruud wins it in straights, probably 6-4, 6-3, if I had to guess. But at the end of the day, you're going to give me a guy that has won against this guy without dropping a set three separate times on clay, including a 6-4, 6-1 win about a week and a half ago. That's good enough for me. I think Ruud wins this one in straight sets as well. So once again, the picks for the round of 64, the lock's going to be on Bordas to win the first set, at minus 135 against Bublik, and my dog will be on a two-pick parlay. Give me Djokovic in straight sets parlayed with Ruud winning straight sets at plus 110. That's going to wrap it up, though. A reminder, for the next episode, we're back once again for the round of 32 in Rome. Until next time, though, find me on Twitter at Red Show Radio. Find me on the NBA show. Find me on the MLB show. Find me on the NFL show and the WNBA show. A reminder, the season is starting up next week. Terrell and I already did an episode for win totals for the upcoming season. We're going to do an award show in a little while for MVP predictions and our potential championship predictions. But until next time, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.